Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTB comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, truvysalonandspa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
One thing about Tom Brady, he knows how to throw and catch a football. But tonight, one Fort Myers woman says Brady's latest throw insulted her family's legacy.
I have a big history of this trophy being made by my father, and it's such an honor. And I know all the craftsmen that made it when my dad was there also at Tiffany's. And it takes a lot of work, a lot of hard work, a lot of hours go into it. It just really upset me that this trophy was disgraced and disrespected by being thrown as if it was a real football.
Beach Drive, Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSaintPete.com.
RadioSaintPete.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi, first time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, asshole. Eat cum and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast. Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM here in downtown St. Pete. Welcome to the program. My name is Will Koontz. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. HMBRadio.com is the website. Busy show today. A subject that hasn't been touched upon a lot, I would say. And I think it's something that the people need to know about. I'm going to talk about the SARS-CoV-2 virus. COVID-19, the disease that the SARS-CoV-2 virus unleashes upon the human population. I just feel like we have it. We just, you know, people need to know. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's in the forefront still. I don't know what to do. And I feel like it's important to the area. We just had Super Bowl here and the Super Spreader Bowl that was supposed to happen. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. And I felt like it was just something that we needed to talk about. And I'll have Johnny B from the Johnny B Show joining me here in a few moments. I'm his co-host on the Johnny B Show, so he was easy to get, thankfully. Anna is not feeling well this week, so she will be back hopefully next week if she doesn't die. So hopefully she doesn't do that. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @home_made_man. I would encourage you to do so. And you can email me at thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com, and you can leave a voice and text message at 813-693-2124. I got one from PP Steve this week. He was saying he's really liking the podcast, and he was curious if I would ever do a Patreon. I would. I would. If I get about, 20,000 more listeners, I will definitely consider that, Steve, for sure. But, so, no real plans to do that right now. But, yeah, definitely in the future, I would love to do something like that. So, we'll see what the future brings. If you want, and I'm not telling you to do this, but if you're enjoying the show and you'd like to contribute, there is a contribution page on hmbradio.com where you can donate, and there's Venmo and PayPal and stuff like that. If you want, not saying to do that, you definitely do not have to, but if you want to, it is there. Thanks for checking that out, and let's just get into it. I feel like this subject matter, just it can't wait any longer. It's gone on too long, so let's talk to Johnny B about the mysterious COVID-19 disease and the super spreader bowl that happened here in Tampa.
The Homemade Broadcast is on RadioSaintPete.com.
Johnny, welcome to the Homemade Broadcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. Johnny is a comedian in the Tampa Bay area. He's also host of the Johnny B Show, which can be heard locally 9 to midnight on 102.5 The Bone here in Tampa Bay. And I'm his co-host, so you probably know me from there as well. But Johnny, thank you so much for filling in on short notice. I do appreciate it. Anna is dead.
Oh,
and it's very sad, very sad. We're all broken up about it, but she'll be back, I'm sure, next week, maybe, who knows. But I'm glad that we have this opportunity to do a little, we were doing good, but we were doing little streams and stuff from time to time periodically, and then, you know.
What happened?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't have a good reason, really. I just, things happen, and, by the time the weekend rolls around now, I'm so
drunk. I know.
Not really. I've been really good with booze. I haven't been drinking on Friday nights at all. I might drink Saturday night. I had one drink last Saturday, and that was it. I didn't drink really at all. I don't really know what's happening. Maybe I'm growing up. Maybe I'm. I don't know. I don't have a good excuse for it because I do like to drink. But it was really nice not being hungover on Sunday morning. I really haven't experienced that in quite some time, but I got up at a decent hour and I didn't really do much. I didn't have anything to really show for it, but at least I wasn't in misery all day. As you get older, the hangovers tend to get worse and worse over that time. And you're nodding your head in agreement. Yes, you're familiar with this phenomenon. So, I don't know what's going on. I wonder if I'll just stop drinking at a certain point. I wonder if I'll ever get to that point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like a everyday drinker or anything like that. I will say I've probably drank more since the pandemic than I have in a long, long time, just because you're at home so much. And, I've been trying to dabble in sipping on a little whiskey, because, it's better than getting all bloated with beer and all that crap. I didn't want to partake in the plant, intoxication during this whole pandemic, because it got you so scared that your lungs need to be in tip-top shape if you get COVID-19 and all that. So,
well, there was also the thing that smoking coated your lungs somehow, and then it allowed the virus not to stick. So
yeah,
maybe
I've
you
seen
do
that too. I don't know.
I don't know either. So we had Super Bowl 55 here in Tampa a little over 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we're about 2 days from 3 weeks right now.
From 3 weeks, and we were warned many times that this was going to be a super spreader event. And it's not the first time that large crowds and sporting events had spread COVID in the past. I know they had some in Europe where they attributed soccer matches to the blow up in cases, and that we were just we're getting finger wagged by people in press and how this is a bad idea. And it turns out, a little more than 2 weeks later that it wasn't the super spreader event that they said it was going to be. Also, they're still not giving up on it either.
Right.
There's
the people that are doing all the finger wagging and the people that are posting all the photos and the videos of like young people partying in South Tampa and what have you, like a very small sample size of what was really going on in our city. Most people, I really do believe, we're handling themselves responsibly, and you know, and taking risk, you know, at their own, you know, volition. Like if you've had, you know, like with you and I, you know, we have antibodies. So yeah, I was a little looser for the Super Bowl. I went to a watch party because I really wasn't worried about myself giving it or getting it, you know. But, you know, it's up to everybody how they want to handle themselves and how they want to, you know, carry themselves. So yeah, it seems like the people that really almost wanted this to blow up because it's better for them, because it supports their narrative. Maybe they work for an outlet that can use the clicks. It seems like they're the ones that are holding on now. It's like, well, give it a technically we got 3 more days and we're like, okay, and then 3 days later now what, you know?
Well, that's what we're seeing now. I saw a couple reporters, Ray Roa from Creative Loafing and Noah Pransky, who used to be one of the local CBS, I don't know, one of those stations. I know his name. And now he works for some NBC online thing, NBC XL or something it's called. And he's tracking everything. He's the guy who's tracking the COVID cases. And he was one of the ones that was warning about the super spreader event that was going to take place that was inevitable. And so he had a tweet a few days ago that was saying, well, you know, it doesn't look like the super spreader event really happened. However, you know, it's also seen some decrease in testing and, you know, maybe that's what it is. And Ray commented, yeah, you know, that's, I was wondering too. I'm glad I'm not crazy because I was wondering about this too. That was my theory, that it's just testing that has decreased and it really was a super spreader event, but we're just not getting tested for it. And I'm seeing today that Noah has a new thread. This is as of the 25th of February. And I'm hesitant to talk about this because if it did happen where it blew up, I'd feel like a real jackass.
Right.
However, I don't think we're going to have the issue that they're saying this. I'm going out on a limb here, and if I do get this wrong and we end up having a big old blow up of cases next week by the time people hear this, feel free to contact me, call me a moron, and I will accept it. And I will say, you know what, you're right. I should have gave it a little bit more time. But typically, it's 14 days from the event itself, and now we're going into almost 3 weeks. So Noah had said, one day after Governor DeSantis touted Florida's falling COVID cases as proof of the Super Bowl wasn't a super spreader, the state's 7-day average is starting to tick back up.
Oh, boy.
Most noticeably, Tampa Bay's case numbers continue to climb. And I'm looking at his graph, and it's really small. Yeah, technically, he's not wrong, but he's not really right either. This isn't the explosion. He's hinting that maybe this is the tip of the iceberg and then all of a sudden it's going to blow up. And then he says the good news for Tampa Bay, despite the increase in COVID cases, they had a surge in testing yesterday, producing the lowest positivity rates in weeks. Hillsborough had 5.9%, Pinellas had 3.8%, and statewide it was 5.2%. And he says that Tampa Bay jumps 18 days post-Super Bowl are still quite modest, but experts warn that drawing any conclusions at this point, real indicators could come as more healthy people transmit the virus to older Floridians in the next week or two, because he's assuming that all these people will just go visit their grandparents, I guess, and cough in their face and then transmit it to them. It gives the you don't want to say it because it's morbid, and I hope it's not true. It gives the impression that they desperately don't want to be wrong on this. And for what motive, I'm not really sure. Is it politically driven? You know, this has become a very political linchpin with either side of where they're at. But we're supposed to be following science here. No matter what your politics are, science isn't going to lie to you, supposedly. And I just get the hint of desperation, like, uh-oh, you know, we called something, we thought for sure it was going to happen, and it's not happening, and we got to cover our butts somehow now. So we'll just keep dragging it out. Well, since when is it 3 weeks now? It was always 2 weeks is when you got the indicators for this thing. And now all of a sudden, it's 3 weeks too early to draw conclusions yet. Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, to me, I think it's a combination of two or three of those things. I really do believe, and I'm positive, you know, that a lot of it is politically driven. I mean, what they want to do, And, you know, I'm not saying this as a right-wing Republican, you know, I'm saying this as a moderate onlooker here, you know, a bystander. It seems like the people that want to keep burying Trump, they want to do it for a little while longer, right? They want to just, they want to make sure they just completely cover this hole up, you know, just fill it in with sand. And then once they feel like that, you know, that's been, you know, driven home, then when the numbers keep looking good, then they'll go, wow, Biden's been in office now for 4 months. And now look, we're coming out of it, guys. He has resurrected this country from despair, from what that horrible tyrant did, you know. So right now it's too soon. You can't just say, oh, all of a sudden everything's better, you know, and you know, 6 weeks later, you know, after Trump, you know, leaves office. So, yeah, I feel like that's the political part of it. And the other one is narrative. You're right. They have to stick to their guns, because if not, they've been wrong for a long time. Mm-hmm. So nobody wants to be wrong, especially people in the media. They have to try to be right no matter what. It's like being in a bad marriage. You know, it's like you're with one of those people that are never wrong. So how often do you see, you know, a media outlet or even a writer come out and say, I was wrong? It doesn't happen very often at all. So,
and when they do these stealth corrections where they're not, you're supposed to, the ethical thing to do is to say, we've corrected this story,
right,
and here's what we got wrong, and here's how we fixed it, and just a notation. And mm-hmm. they do these things called stealth edits where they just go in and people find these because they have the internet.
Right.
And they're able to go back to the Wayback Machine and see how they edited the story, in order, and they do it without noting it, which is unethical. And it's, I guess there's no certification for being a journalist or anything, so you can't get revoked. But,
right,
you know, really they should be fired when they do that thing because they're incompetent and going against their own standards. However, mm-hmm. that never seems to happen. But a lot of times there's not a correction at all. You could still, if I go back, I bet you if I search Super Bowl Super Spreader,
mm-hmm.
I bet you I'll still be able to find articles that say, yeah, this is going to be a disaster. New York Times, is your Super Bowl party a Super Spreader event? Let's see, maskless Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans risk COVID Super Spreader. Yeah, so it's still all up there. They didn't change anything at all. There's no corrections. There's no, I would love to hear. There was this guy in Jacksonville, some virologist or something, epidemiologist, and he said that he would be shocked to learn if there was not a super spreader event with the mm-hmm. Super Bowl happening down in Tampa. Oh, so can we get a follow-up comment from him? Is he shocked? What's going on?
Yeah, can I get a video of his shock and all? I want to see what he looks like right now, you know? Yeah, it's silly. Look, I mean, I was nervous when I saw the videos of tons of people gathering, but we've talked about this on our show at night. You know, like, I really do believe, and I've talked to people in the medical community, and they're not disagreeing. They're saying that I have something here. I really believe these young people that you see all the time, when you're on these, oh, look at Florida, look at Ybor City, and there's wall-to-wall people, you know, they're elbow-to-elbow outside, no mask. Okay, they're all in their early 20s. And I really believe most of them already had it. I believe that the asymptomatic spreaders, I believe they've been spreading it for almost a year, if not longer. And they've either torn through it. Why are there so many old people dying? Because they probably gave it to them last summer. You know what I mean? Like, I really believe they've either built up immunity or, you know, they're immune, something. Because when you see all these people gathered all the time, and they're not, you know, their cases aren't going up. And I know my son's a college student, and he's in a fraternity, and he got it in September, and his entire fraternity got it at the same time. And he doesn't know a college student that hasn't had COVID. The girl he's dating, she's had COVID. She's at a whole different college, you know? So almost everybody I know under 30 have either had it or they've been in close contact with it and didn't get it. So I don't know a lot of people now where I remember back last June, you would see these posts on social media. Does anybody even know anybody who's had COVID? And you go, yeah, you know, I think I might know one person. Now I know a ton of people.
Oh, sure.
Like, it's so common.
Yeah. And that was like right at the beginning when there was 2,000 cases in the United States. You go, well, you know, it's a small sample size right now. I'm sure we will eventually. And the answer is no right now in February 2020 and beginning of March. But that changed quickly because that's the nature of viruses. Another side effect of COVID has been the flu is nearly gone. This is according to WFLA and the AP. February is usually the peak of flu season with doctors, offices, and hospitals packed with suffering patients, but not this year. The flu has virtually disappeared from the United States with reports coming in at far lower levels than anything seen in decades. Experts say that measures put in place to fend off the coronavirus, including mask wearing, social distancing, and virtual schooling, were a big factor in preventing the twindemic. Remember that? They talked about the flu and COVID teaming up and the side effects of what that would be, and that was going to be a whole other thing. They just really scared the crap out of us. Then they said it was a push to get more people vaccinated against the flu probably helped too, as did fewer people traveling. Another possible explanation, the coronavirus has essentially muscled aside the flu and other bugs that are more common in the fall and winter. Scientists don't fully understand the mechanism behind that, but it would be consistent with patterns seen in certain flu strains that predominate over others. Dr. Arnold Monto, a flu expert at the University of Michigan, said, this is the lowest flu season we've ever had on record, according to a surveillance system. Oh, good. That is about 25 years old, said Lynette Bramer of the U.S. CDC. Hospitals say the usual steady stream of flu-stricken patients never materialized. At the Maine Medical Center in Portland, the state's largest hospital, has seen zero documented cases of the flu.
Yeah, that to me, it's one of those things, too. It's going to make a lot of conspiracy theorists that's going to raise a brow, you know, like, oh, what's going on? Are they counting flus as COVIDs? And you can't really say they're crazy right now because you have to wonder, like, how's a hospital have zero flu cases? It's really weird. So, I mean, I know that's how my brain works now. If somebody coughs around me, I just assume they have COVID every single time. Sure. Yeah.
Natural reaction. Absolutely.
Yeah. We were at IHOP last Saturday after a show, and it was packed in the place. Packed. And it was me, Nathan Wallace, and Leah. You know, Nathan Wallace, a local comedian, you know, down from Fort Myers. But there was a girl, you know, probably in her 20s. She was at a table adjacent to ours, and she's coughing the entire time. I mean, like, deep throat coughs. And I just like, oh, my God, man. Like, she's giving everybody the virus right now. Chances are she's got allergies. I don't know. But, man, I was like, how do you go out in public right now with a cough? Like, just stay home, man. Yeah. You're making everybody nervous.
When I went and saw Tim Dillon in October of last year, I was sitting, and of course, God said, this is just my luck. You know, whenever I go out to these events, when I go to Rays games, I get sat next to the most drunk Boston Red Sox fan that right. You can find is always sat right next to me. And this time it was a guy who was just hacking up a lung. And not, you would think in a crowded, you know, theater setting like that you would try to cover it. Number one, just because there's a performance going on and you don't want to, you know, just be hacking and taking attention away from that, but also just because we're in a current pandemic that's very contagious and people are very, very afraid of. And he was just, and not covering his mouth, just hacking right next to me. And I was like, well, if I don't have it. And then a few weeks later, I did come down with COVID. So maybe that could have been the day that I got it. And I kind of just accepted my fate and said, you know, if it happened, it's weird how you almost dared it. You know, I got to a point, you know, where I was like, hit me. I felt like, you remember when the Joker in the Dark Knight, Batman was riding at him in the motorcycle? He's like, I want you to do it. Yeah. Hit me. That's what I felt like with the damn COVID thing. And then you got hit, anyway, I know you got it too, probably from me. But I had it, and then it was super annoying. It was the stigma that was around it. I was not afraid, but I felt like a leper, and I must hide, and you know, I had to tell my neighbors that I had it, and it was like, I would imagine, I've never had an STD, thank God, where I gave it to somebody, but like having to make that call and say, listen, I tested positive or something, and they're afraid because they're older, and rightfully so, but I'm just saying, yeah, just stay back, you're good, and then I'm getting kind of shamed for even going outside at all and sitting in the sun. They're like, well, you know, you probably shouldn't be doing that, and yeah, well, you know, nobody's around, and it's outside. But
in their head, though, they're thinking like you're breathing, and that's gonna fly up to their second floor and into their window, and you're gonna kill them. So
I don't blame them for feeling that way, because that's kind of the vibe that you get when you watch the news and you listen to the experts. We're supposed to listen to these people. I got in a kind of an argument with a friend of mine yesterday because he's a doctor, and I brought up, which is this is another hot button issue, that I think Dr. Fauci should go. I think he should. I think he's been in that job for a long time, and I think he should go and enjoy the Washington Nationals. Go watch your team. Go sit on a beach somewhere. You know, you served your country well, and now it's time to step aside. And I feel that way because if he was your doctor personally, and he had so many flip flops on certain things and switched it around, and he had a comment that masks were politicized and they shouldn't have been, well, frankly, he had a big part in that, because he said don't wear a mask, don't get masks in March 2020 that don't work, and later admitted that, well, I said that because I wanted to save the masks for the medical professionals. And then it kind of complains that this was politicized. Well, what do you expect people to do if they, you know, they go, you're lying to me? And they're not wrong by saying that. Now, it might be a noble lie on his part that he wanted to save it for the medical professionals. That's true, but it's still a lie. And people lose trust in you. And we were supposed to have trust in these public officials. And if your doctor did that, where he said, you know, hey, you know, I don't think it's anything. Don't worry about it. You had a story about a doctor who you thought you had a blood clot, and he goes, nah, you're good. And then he goes, I'll give you a scan if you want it, but you don't need it.
Yeah, if it'll make you feel better. Yeah I was telling that story on air the other night about how I fired a doctor, and I don't even know if that's what you do to doctors. I think you just don't see him anymore, but I told him he was fired. But yeah, I had it 2007. I had a really bad pain in my leg for about a month. It got worse and worse and swollen and red and just brutal. So I found a doctor in the Yellow Pages near my home and went and saw him. And he said, oh, you probably have an infection. You need to walk around and get some blood flow in there is what you need. You're not moving around enough, you know, because, I mean, he just assumed, because I'm a fat guy, I'm not moving around enough. He's probably right, but he don't know. I mean, he just met me. And as I'm going to leave, he gives me a script for like antibiotics. And as I'm about to walk out, I said, yeah, I just want to be safe, man. I mean, I don't end up like a blood clot or something. And he's like, oh, well, if it'll make you feel better, I could send you for a scan. I go, you know what? That would make me feel better. And sure enough, I had a damn blood clot. Mm. And that's when I went off on the guy. God, he was telling me to walk around. I would have walked to my death. I would have been dead that week, because that's the last thing you do with an untreated blood clot is just go walk around your neighborhood and jack off. So, yeah.
So if that was, you know, and I feel like this, of course, yours is more direct, but there's just been too many inconsistencies, too many flip-flops. My friend's argument was that, well, everything that he says is under scrutiny. Well, yeah, that's his job. I mean, just like anybody who goes to a doctor, they take them at their word. You have to be very precise and very clear about what you're saying. And I think the way to have handled it is to say, listen, we don't want you to go out and buy. Just level with people. Just be honest with them and say, listen, we don't want you to go out and buy masks because we need to save them for medical staff. This is a very serious situation. Now, I know how human beings are, as we saw with the toilet paper situation. They went out and just mass bought toilet paper. So that might have been the same thing with masks. I would imagine government officials could have done something about that, getting them out off shelves and put aside and saved. But you can't complain that it's been politicized and then you be the one who's politicized it. And a lot of people don't believe it now. They don't wear the mask. I was in a pizza place this past weekend, and I'm sympathetic to both sides of this argument. At this point, I mean, being so fervent in the anti-masking is silly. And also the people who are so serious about the masking, especially in places like restaurants and bars, where if I go sit down, I can take it off. it doesn't make sense. None of this makes sense. If your mask is off, you're breathing out into the air. It doesn't matter if you're drinking. The virus doesn't care if you're eating or drinking something, so it takes a time out. So in situations like that, like, what the hell is the difference if the guy comes in and picks up his order and leaves right away? If he was to sit down at the table and enjoy a piece of that pizza that he had, you know, it would have been different. And it's like, yeah, and I know that these are arbitrary rules in the sand, but they're arbitrary rules, and they don't make sense, and they're not scientific at all. So the guy walked in, and he didn't have a mask on, and the guy that was at the pizza shop was really nice, and he said, "Hey, man, do you have a mask?" And the guy went, "No." He goes, "I got you." And he gave him a mask. Says, "You just got to put it on when you're in here. It's part of the deal." And the guy said, okay. And he paid for his order, walked outside, and I saw him hold up the mask to his girlfriend, and he was laughing about it. And I was like, oh, boy, this is going to be a problem. So he comes back in a few minutes and to pick up his order, and the guy goes, "Look, man," and he didn't have the mask on. He goes, and the guy, the nice guy that worked there, said, "Listen, it's policy. You got to have the mask on, man." He goes, "Actually, you don't." And now it's a thing. And yeah. I understand both of their points there. They're both right. They're both right in that situation. Like I said, it doesn't matter if the guy is wearing a mask or not to pick up his order. If he can go sit down and eat his pizza inside, just who gives a crap?
Well, the city of St. Pete gives a crap, and they'll fine that poor shop owner. You know, that's the reason why he's pushing it, and that's why I feel bad for these store owners, because, you know, they got these ticket police walking around, you know, making sure that they're upholding the rules. And now they have to do something that they've never been trained to do their entire life. They've never had to enforce some sort of a medical code. You know, this guy's a pizza maker, you know, he's a restaurateur. And now he has to do the city's job and get this guy to wear his mask. And yeah, I agree. It's a stupid, the rules are arbitrary and are stupid, but at the same time, that guy didn't have to be a dick. You know, he could have just put it on for 2 seconds and got his pizza and just made the pizza shop owner's day a little better. It's not the pizza shop owner's fault that he has to do this stuff.
I completely understand that. And I'm sure the pizza guy doesn't want to deal with this crap either. No. And who knows where he stands, you know, on the whole thing. He might go, "Look, I know it's stupid." But it just is. But the if we're gonna be following the science, then just do no dine in, right? Well, then, I mean, if we're gonna do that,
then the people lose their businesses. They tried that, you know what I mean? They tried that for a month or two, and you know, we 10% of the restaurants in the state shut down, if not the country. So it's like, what do we do now? We have to find some sort of a middle ground here. So okay, if you're sitting down, you can take your mask off. And I guess the only way that does make a little sense is now you don't have a ton of people standing in the place elbow to elbow. At least now you know the capacity, because you know how many chairs are in the joint. So if there's 80 chairs in a restaurant, you know you only got 80 people breathing on each other instead of 150.
But what's the difference? I know. Not much. Somebody has, you know, COVID in that room of 80, the exponential growth would be amazing. You know, if they go out and then they amazing in the negative sense, it seems more like it's looking like we're doing something rather than actually doing something.
Oh yeah. 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 Everything is about, you know, covering their ass legally, everybody, you know, from top to bottom, but yeah. And they keep trying. Like, think about where we were a year ago when this thing first popped off. They were just, remember, checking everybody's temperature as you walk into a building. And they're still doing that in places, which is ridiculous, because you spike a fever. Not everybody that has COVID even spikes a fever, but the ones that do, it's such a small part of the whole process. Like, I had a fever for maybe 3 hours of the 2 weeks I battled COVID. Like, you don't just walk around with a fever. People that have fevers don't go to restaurants usually, you know? So
I never had a fever when I had it.
Right. I had it, like I'm telling you, I had it the first day I felt really sick. I had it for about 3 hours, and then the next day I lost my taste and smell, and I never had a fever after that. So I don't know. It's bizarre. Like, to to go through all these steps, it's, I mean, I was really, really safe most of the time, and I still got it. So,
yeah, you know. We also heard that this wouldn't be over until we got a vaccine, and mm-hmm. that's when we would start to see the end of this. Now the goalposts are moved again, and now, you know, we might be wearing masks up until 2022, and just because you're vaccinated doesn't mean that you can go out and do things. And so, again, that was another thing they weren't really honest about and didn't level with us with this whole thing. I guess maybe they would have been afraid that people just would have been like, ah, screw it. I also feel like it could have been a test to see how people react
right
to these things, if they're willing to. And there's a big segment of the population that is super willing to just do what they are told, and in order to keep safe, you know, in quotes, whether it does or not, and you know, be hall monitors for people to you know, enforce these arbitrary rules. There's plenty of people out there who love doing that sort of thing. You see it all the time on your Facebook feed if you have a comedy show or something, and you even had one where a person was upset that nobody was wearing masks on a Throwback Thursday picture from 2 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, that kills me. You got these people out there, like you call them school marms, right? It's like they're looking to put you in your place. And that was so funny because, I mean, I put on there, #TBT 2019 sold out show, and it was a picture of a line of people wrapped around the building. It was like, man, it was one of those proud moments in my comedy career. And then sure enough, not even the first comment, it was like four comments down. Wow, not a mask on in the place. Yeah, you're right. 2019, not a mask on in the place. You're right. You jerk. You're like, ugh. You just want to smack people in the face like that. Like,
well, it's low status individuals who, you know, not to be cruel, but are complete losers who have really nothing going on in their lives. And they're finally able to tell somebody who's a little higher value than they are that, well, I get to be, I'm to have the moral high ground here. I can shame you and I'll be right in doing right. so, and righteous in doing so. So they take full advantage of that. And those are the other ones that I just can't stand anymore. I really don't like the people who are just like, I'm not wearing a mask. Look, right. I'm a contrarian. I don't like wearing a mask either. But it's just, and part of me feels like I'm doing a disservice to my ideology by not saying I'm not doing this anymore. But it's just easier. And, right. you know, I don't want to get my neighbors in trouble and their businesses in trouble for, and maybe I'm a wuss, man. I don't know. Maybe I am. But it's.
I don't think so. It's like you don't have to wear a shirt in a lot of places, but you know, just wear one. Like, like.
Yeah, but if we have that attitude, then this is a thing that won't go away, and we'll just be wearing masks from now on indefinitely.
Well, and I said this to you, you know, a couple of days ago. I said, look. I'm playing the game, you know, I don't like it, but at the same time, I don't want to be, you know, a rebel rouser. I don't want to be, you know, like, you know, necessarily pushing against everything around me, even though I don't like it. I don't, you know, I look, do I think the mask help? Probably. Do I think they help as much as they say? No, not really. But yeah, the same way. But I said this the other day, I said, if we have 300 million people vaccinated by September and they are still saying you got to wear the mask, it's going to be a problem. Like, I'm not wearing my damn mask. You know, it's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah. I wonder, because people are just very happy to, you know, and it's typically people that call other people bootlickers that are happy to lick the boots of people because, oh, well, this is, you know, I don't know, the people that they choose to believe and hang their hat on. It's a conundrum. Every I run into a contradiction. This life is full of contradictions at every twist and turn. So I don't know what the right thing to do is. I do know it seems like we're getting a handle on this thing. It seems like the Super Bowl was not the super spreader event that they said it was. Thank God. Right. And, you know, hopefully we're kind of rounding the corner here, even though our officials say no, it's still bad. But, you know, the numbers seem to say otherwise. Hopefully, keeping my fingers crossed, and if I'm wrong, you can call me an idiot and a jack-off, and you won't be wrong. So that's a good opportunity for people out there who don't like me to do so.
Right. Yeah, I want to just get back to doing the things that we used to do. Like, I the things we took for granted, you know, like I miss going to concerts. I miss going to large festivals, you know, whether it be a state fair or a parade or all these things that we used to do all the time and never even think about how much of a great thing we had, you know. And it's like, you know, I just want to get back to that. You know, I'm not asking for anything crazy. I just think it is funny, though, that everybody's so afraid of dying for the last year. And what did most of us do? We put on 20 pounds. You know, it's like I've been killing myself with food over the last year, worried about catching COVID-19, where the death rate is, for me at my age, is way less than what I'm doing to my arteries with Popeye's fried chicken. So, lately I've been really doing some soul searching. It's like, why don't I prioritize everything? Like, what am I doing? I'm hand sanitizing every time I touch something, you know, but I'm not, you know, doing everything else to keep myself alive like I should. It's stupid. You know, I drink a bottle of whiskey. You know, how bad is that for you? You know, compared to, you know, I had COVID. It was bad. It wasn't fun, you know, at all.
Sure.
And I think there's still lingering effects from it. You know, we still are trying to learn the long-term effects for some people. But yeah, it's funny though that the media, as much as I call the media out for all the BS, it still affects me too. It affects everybody, you know? So it's like, it wears on you and you're like, oh my God, like you got this cloud of despair that's been over us for, you know, almost a full year. It's like everywhere you go, it's part of it. Like everywhere. It doesn't matter what you're doing. I saw something last night on the new Spider-Man movie that made me feel so good. I don't know if you saw the trailer for it, but they did a teaser. But the thing that made me feel the best about it is what they said at the end of the teaser. They said, out Christmas 2021 only in theaters. And I was like, ah, I see what you did there. Okay.
So there is some hope. Yeah, some hope. Yeah. At least we're in Florida where life is, you know, diet life, I would call it. We're still out doing our things. Like, I know you're out doing shows and that started semi recently, and that's great. And, you know, we do have restaurants open and bars are open. And, you know, even though I've had COVID and I still have antibodies, I just found out, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm able to go enjoy those things. I really haven't been as much. I just feel like it's, and I don't know if it's the shaming or the just getting used to just being at home and getting old. Maybe that could be part of it. I just don't want to go out anymore. You're out doing shows now, and do you have any shows coming up here recently or soon to be anyways?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have a real busy March. So March 12th and 13th, I'm doing four pop-up shows in Sarasota at this high yoga studio. I know, and it sounds crazy, but I've heard they've had good shows. And then I'm doing a couple of back-to-back brewery shows, the 20th at Motorworks in Bradenton, 21st at the Naughty Monk in Bradenton, which is a new venue of mine. Then I'm going to be out in Port Charlotte on the 31st, and I think I got something before that, Wild Rover in Oldsmar. I don't know. JohnnyBComedy.com has my schedule. I have to look at it myself to figure out where I'm at. So
yeah, and new merch is up there too. You can get Johnny B Show shirts and hoodies and all that good stuff. You just made a new logo. It's really cool. And go check that out if you're a fan of the show and get yourself a hoodie.
I just got a UPS update. Our brand new stickers are at my front door right now. So
fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, man. Yeah. Well, thanks a bunch. And you can find you on Instagram at Johnny B Comedy. Or wait.
Johnny B Tampa on everything except Twitter is Johnny B Comedy.
All right, there you go. Thanks so much for tuning in this week on 96.7 FM here in downtown St. Petersburg, RadioSt.Pete.com, anywhere in the world, and also at HMBRadio.com. You can find the podcast there. Sometimes new things that maybe aren't aired on Radio St. Pete, go up there. So be sure to subscribe to HMB Radio wherever you get your podcasts. I mean, it's everywhere. HMB, Hotel, Mike, Bravo, and then Radio, all one word. Click the subscribe button. I still have some HMB Radio stickers if you'd like, and new Johnny B Show stickers. If you're a fan of the Johnny B Show, let me know. Email me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @home_made_man. And you can always leave a voice or text message on our line here at 813-693-2124. Thank you so much, everybody. Love you very much. Thanks, Johnny B. Catch me and Johnny every weeknight, 9 to midnight, 102.5 The Bone, theboneonline.com. You can always get The Bone app and listen to replays if you're not up that late and you're a normal human being. Will Kuntz, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com and Sunshine, 96.7 FM. Talk to you next week. Bye.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.